is My Daddy Station. I'm Pooh, classic radio like you always wished it could be. 101.1 FM, Eager.
101.1 FM is owned and operated by the Independence Foundation Trust as a nonprofit community service.
This is the voice of freedom.
Listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, about 2 weeks ago, well, it starts a long time before that. I don't even know how many months ago, but somewhere it started. And I discovered after all these years that I needed a secretary and finally broke down and hired a secretary. Her name is Connie Franklin. And she organized this place, and I finally got some things done, and she got a lot done, and I was able to concentrate on some things that I had been ignoring for a long time. Well, she ditched her husband tonight and ran off with the boy next door. He's only 14, and nobody's seen him since about 1 o'clock. Actually, John's not living. That's really not what happened, folks. About 2 weeks ago, she came in. Her husband, John, had started a training program at the hospital. And he liked it so much that she decided she's going to go to the training program also. So today was her last day of regular work around here. And ever since she told me that last week, this is what I've been doing. The truth, folks, for 2 weeks I've been wondering, what'll I do, you know, because I never had it so good in my whole life. to tell you the truth. Anyway, Connie's here tonight, and I asked her to be a part of this broadcast because I know that she helped an awful lot of you with your questions and your mail and all kinds of things. And, of course, she was an integral part of the conference that we had at the Thunder Horse Ranch. And so Connie is going to be with me for this hour, and we're going to take your calls if you'd like to say goodbye to her. And she's going to say goodbye to all of you tonight. And I'm going to say thank you probably 500,000 times. But I'm going to turn the mic over to Connie and let her sort of, say whatever it is that she wants to say. And maybe I'll just turn this into You Can Be the Guest show. How about that?
Thank you, Bill. Well, now, don't all of you get your guns out and your hate pens and shoot off letters to me and how could you? Because, you know, I have a life, too, and so...
She'll be back. Don't worry. After 47 bedpans, she'll be back.
I'm not abandoning him totally. I did tell him I would come in once a week for a couple hours in the morning to keep it going for him so that he didn't get behind and you guys don't wonder what's going on. So I'm not abandoning him totally, but I decided I wanted to, a long time ago when I first started college, I wanted to be a nurse and I failed chemistry and that kind of put the kibosh on things. And so now I'm going to take a course at the local hospital on being a certified nurse's assistant, and eventually I'm going to be an occupational therapy assistant, which is something that I've wanted to do for a long time, and I finally got the courage to strike out on my own and do something that I've never done before, because I've done secretarial things for about 15 years now, and I've gotten very comfortable in that niche, and in that we know how that goes, and so now it's time to break out into something new.
You know, I can remember when we put the ad out and called, I don't know who it was that Annie called, but they started sending us people to interview. And I remember the day that you came to interview. And I'm always brutally honest about this job because...
You were.
It takes a special kind of person to be able to do it. And it takes somebody who has to be absolutely 100% trustworthy. And a lot of other things that none of you out there probably understand, having not been involved with what we do around here. But I can remember the look on Connie's face when I told her some of the problems that we have, like phones being tapped and FBI following us around and all kinds of things like that. At the time,
we
were
hoping my face wasn't that easily red.
And at the time, we were under a criminal investigation by the Internal Revenue Service. Of course, we're not criminals and didn't do anything criminal. It's just a part of the ongoing harassment that they do to try to shut people up and intimidate everybody that we know so that they won't have anything to do with us anymore. And believe me, it works. It really works.
Yeah.
I gave her a whole bunch of copies of Veritas.
Uh-huh.
I think I gave you a copy of the book. I'm not sure.
Oklahoma City Day One.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And sent her home, told her to talk it over with her husband and think about it real hard because, you know, once she got in here that she could become a target like we are all the time. But why don't you tell people what you thought about that what you thought for the first few days when you came to work here.
Well, at the interview, it was really funny. It was unlike any other interview I'd ever attended. First of all, Pooh and Allison were there, and Pooh kept interrupting once she found out I had four little girls and wanted to know their ages and their names. And did I think that sometimes I could bring them up and they could play with her? You know, I was trying to be professional and not slip into the mommy mode, which is very easy to do when you're around little children. And I remember thinking, as he's telling me about possible FBI agents and whatnot coming to my door, wanting to find out about William Cooper, and I'm thinking, well, heck, they're not going to find out anything from me because I don't know anything. To be perfectly honest, I had never heard of William Cooper. I had never heard of Veritas. I knew nothing whatsoever as to what he was involved in. And, you know, I was really overwhelmed. I thought, wow. So I took the stuff home, and I the first question out of my mouth to my husband was, have you ever heard of Veritas? Oh, yeah. I've read a couple of issues of it. It's pretty good. I like it. Okay, that answers that question. You know? And he'd actually heard of Bill before, and I asked several people in town if they had heard of him, and I was actually surprised that they had. They were people that I, you know, you get that stereotypical thought in your mind, because he told me about militias too, and so, you know, I'm immediately thinking, okay, everybody's walking around with a bazooka, and they, you know, they've got the jungle greens on and camouflage on their face, and the people that I asked and who knew about Bill, they weren't wearing camouflage and jungle boots. So they were actually quite respectable looking. So, but it eased my mind, and John and I talked for the entire week about it, and went round and round. You know, first I did, then I didn't. Oh dear, okay. You know, and finally I did what I've done with every important decision in my life, and I prayed about it. And I got a positive feeling, and so I said, okay, I'm going to do it. And John was behind me 100%. He said whatever I wanted to do, it was okay with him, that, you know, he'd support me. And so I called up Bill, and and I told him that if he was still offering the job, I was interested in it, and left it at that. And a couple days later, he finally got back with me, because I didn't get him. I got the answering machine, and said, did I want to start December 1st? And I said, okay, fine. Then December 1st came around, and I got here and couldn't find the door I was supposed to go in. I thought, well, surely I'm not supposed to go in the front door, because, you know, I don't know if he's told you or not, but he's made his garage into an office and studio and everything, and there was no door into the garage, so am I supposed to walk through the house? And Sugar Bear's out there barking and leaping and carrying on, and I'm thinking, is he going to break the chain? But Bill came out and introduced himself to John, and John took a liking to him right away, and I think Bill took a liking to John right away. And
as a matter of fact, John's been a lot of help.
Yeah. And John likes computers a lot, and he's come up and helped a couple times when Bill has been absolutely flabbergasted with whatever it was that was going on. And so then I came into the office, and it wasn't like any office I'd ever seen. It wasn't organized. I thought, oh, good grief, he was not kidding. I still don't have all the filing under control. And so, but he let me help decorate the office. The way the office looks is pretty much a reflection of my personality, not his. And for the first couple days, we spent a lot of time running around getting measurements done and getting office furniture in place and computers up and running. And I think it was probably 2 weeks before I actually sat down and started taking care of the mail and filing.
Yeah.
So.
We had an awful lot to do to make it a workable workspace. And we had to move the studio from where it was to where it is now, and hook everything up, and it's a nightmare of wires. And every time I disconnect everything, I never can remember which way it goes to get it back. And
when you add new pieces of equipment, you're like, oh my gosh.
We had stuff we had to move out of here to storage, and you know, an awful lot of things. And then she got settled in, and things started actually, you know, when I went to look for something, I started to be able to find it, and that was a first. it was great, and it still is.
Well, it took a little bit for our thinking to mesh as to what
he would tell me to file it under something, and I'd think, oh, that really shouldn't go there, and I'd file it somewhere else. And he'd say, no, you know. So finally, I set the filing system up basically as to how his mind thinks instead of my mind thinks. So
yeah.
To find stuff.
She was used to filing like a normal business would file, documents and papers and letters. And around here, we don't file them that way. We file them based upon a relationship to something that has happened, mm-hmm. our laws, our things that make a difference in the kind of work that we do. And if you file it like normal businesses do, you'd have to look in 50 different places to be able to come up with a dossier on a certain subject. And what I wanted to do was reach in the file cabinet and pull it out, you know, right there, all together.
And that's what I've got going now.
And it's great. It really is. If I want something on TWA Flight 800, it's all in the same place. Every single piece of paper that has anything to do with TWA Flight 800 is in the same place. And that's it's tremendous help.
It also took me a while to get the courage to throw things away. It was like, oh my gosh, he's got all this paper and I don't know what's important and what's junk. And it took a while, but now I ruthlessly throw things away that you send me that has no relationship whatsoever to what we're doing here. So don't get offended.
No, but don't stop sending things either.
That's
because
right.
Because wherever there's something that's useless, there's usually three or four things that are essential,
mm-hmm.
and absolutely essential. You know, you've all heard me talk about how much stuff we get in the mail here, and I don't think you guys ever really appreciate that or believe it. Why don't you tell them how much stuff we get in the mail and how much stuff we've received since you got here, and with your constant filing every day, how much is still in boxes waiting to be filed?
Well, Bill informed me that he's still got an entire, 8x12 storage room?
Yeah.
8x12 storage room that needs to be filed. I have two filing cabinets bulging at the seams. In fact, I was getting ready to tell them that we need a third filing cabinet in the office because I'm starting to get a bunch of paper cuts because I can't get the files in and out of the drawers anymore. And I probably have about three full boxes, 8x10 boxes, of newspaper clippings, faxes, papers, books, tape. You name it, it's got to be filed, and I haven't got it filed. I have been so busy getting the FCC packet ready.
You said 8x10 boxes. They're more like...
Okay, 9x12. But they need to be filed, and oh my goodness, but I figure, I can always do that a little bit later. There's more important things that need to be done, such as answering your letters, getting... everybody into the database that needs to be there for their Veritas subscriptions, answering questions on the phone. Like I said, getting the FCC information packet ready so that it could be printed. I've been typing up a lot of last-minute things that Bill says, oh, I need this typed for the web page. Okay. So it's been kind of hectic around here, but that's the way I like it. I don't like to not have things to do.
And I didn't like her not having things to do either. And around here, that's never a problem, is it?
No.
I mean, nobody who's paying somebody to work likes to have people sitting around with nothing to do. But around here, that is just not a problem, never has been a problem, never will be a problem, no matter who's working here. But one of the things I liked about Trani is she never gave me a bit of crap about anything. And I'm not the easiest guy in the world to work with or for because I'm a perfectionist. I'm just as unorganized as anybody could possibly be, and I lose things all the time. But I'm a perfectionist in the work that I do and in the research that I do and in the things that we do with other people. And that can be a little trying at times, can't it?
Actually, yes, but I'm a perfectionist myself, so that wasn't a problem. You know, it was learning your mode of thinking.
Yeah,
that was my biggest thing.
we just sort of meshed and worked real well together, and there was none of this. There just was never any bickering or anything, and you know, I was really worried. That was my biggest worry, besides the trustworthy thing, because that is so important around here, to have someone you can trust. The other one was, am I going to have somebody in this office that's hard to get along with and going to be bickering all the time about this or that or something? Knowing that I'm pretty demanding. And so I knew if I got that kind of person, and I was really, really watching in the interviews for signs of that. But, you know, in interviews, people are putting on their best show, so you never really know. But Connie just was perfect for this job, and I'm really going to miss her. And I'm afraid the work is going to fall back behind, because in order to handle some of the things that she handles, I'm not going to be able to devote attention to things that I normally have been devoting attention to and getting things done that hadn't been done for a long time. Also, when there's nobody else to answer the phone, the telephone takes an awful lot of time out of the workday, because some days we don't get too many calls. But those days are rare. Usually we're getting calls from before we're even open, before the office is even officially open until long after it's officially closed, even though people know that our work day ends at 1 o'clock for the office hours, they're still calling sometimes at midnight and 1 o'clock in the morning. And if I'm around the phone, I'll sometimes pick it up, sometimes I won't, depends on what I'm doing. But Connie handled all that, and she kept it away from me, and was able to answer your questions and deal with all of those kinds of things that and allowed me to really, well, for instance, there would be no web page if Connie had not been here. You have no idea of the amount of time it has taken to build the web page to the point that it is now. And not to mention the research and the writing and all of the other things that we do around here. But, I've told you several times since you came to work for me that I really appreciated your being here and the work that you've done. But tonight I want to give you a very special thank you from the bottom of my heart, and I really appreciate it. And I also appreciate the fact that she has offered to come back once a week for a couple of hours and just sort of help me either get caught up or stay caught up or not be so far behind, whichever one of those categories it's going to fall into.
Well, I appreciate it, Phil. I fully admit that I was one of the sheeple, and I had no idea the true nature of what was going on in this country and around the world, matter of fact. I considered myself pretty well informed. You know, I stayed on top of things, but I didn't really, not really. I was very shocked at some of the things that I learned as I was filing and learning things, and I was just absolutely flabbergasted. And for that, I thank you for opening my eyes.
Well, you're welcome. I know that when you first came to work here, you probably thought I was overstating the state of the nation a little bit when I talked to you during the interview. And that's one of the things that anybody who sticks around here for very long, they get to not just hear it. I mean, Connie saw the documentation. She handled it. She filed it. She knows that it's true. And there is no doubt about it whatsoever. And she didn't know any of it before, and really had a big question mark there about my sanity. But now she knows. I can guarantee you, she knows, and has seen more documentation than anybody out there listening to this broadcast will probably ever see in their life.
Yeah, and you also had me do a few little research projects, and I'll never forget when you were away in Porterville for your speaking engagement and the Republic of Texas siege took place. Oh, my gosh. You know, Michelle was just, you know, we were on the phone constantly. She was updating me, and I'm writing things down. And, you know, when you would call in, I'd update you. And it was just, I just couldn't believe all that, you know. And I've been here for several months by now. And it was quite interesting to be part of the behind-the-scenes action and knowledge.
Yeah, and you had several people calling you, the station chief for the state of Texas, mm-hmm. John Ponder, and, other people, and of course, wherever I go, I always have my my portable phone with me,
mm-hmm.
and so I was...
I didn't have that number, though.
And she was in touch with me, and I was in touch with the people who were on the scene and in the state of Texas and with my office. And Connie did all the coordinating between all of these people and myself to make sure that that I knew what was happening, so that I could activate our intelligence assets and make sure that we understood what was going on, so that we could advise the people who needed to know whether or not our organization should become involved. And of course, we quickly—I mean, almost instantly, within minutes, as a matter of fact. Understood the true nature of the situation, and that these people had actually committed real crimes, and there was no way in the world that any legitimate militia could support them whatsoever. And once we understood that, we kept a close watch on everything, and Connie coordinated the information flowing into the office and then back to me, and then I made my reports and delivered them on up the chain to the people that that had to receive them. And so we averted a possible catastrophe if people had not evaluated the in the first place, if we hadn't had people gathering the information, and if we had not been able to evaluate it properly and analyze it and put it together, we could have had the militias there in confrontations with law enforcement people and possibly National Guard, and that could have precipitated the catastrophe, which should never have happened, and didn't.
It was kept under control, which was really good. It was, you know, it was nice to see that it didn't turn into another Waco or Ruby Ridge or, whatever else. So that was good, and I was, I felt honored to be able to do that and keep it going, and you know, and. I took all the raw intelligence and typed it up into a coherent form and timeline so he would know what was going on. And when he walked into the office, he had I had just gotten off the phone 5 minutes before he walked in the office. And so, I mean, he had the very latest up-to-date information.
And so that's the way it is moving west. And, you know, sometimes it gets kind of hectic around here, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
What'd you think about the conference?
Oh, I loved it.
Remember I told you when I was when I interviewed you that you'd get to meet some of the most wonderful people
mm-hmm.
in the world?
Uh-huh.
And that you would be talking to some of the greatest patriots who've ever lived in this country, and
uh-huh.
And
yeah.
That you would get to meet some of those people, and
mm-hmm.
and you did.
It was really wonderful being able to put faces to the names that had been calling me or writing me, and that I was able to meet people. And, you know, it was a very nerve-wracking time for me because I had never done something quite this large. I had put on meetings and other things before for other employers, you know, but that was strictly business. This was also business and pleasure. And, you know, and so I know that when we were there Bill and Annie were a little concerned about me being in the kitchen and helping in the kitchen, you know, but that was part of my responsibility as putting this together and making sure that things ran smoothly, that it wasn't something that Bill needed to be worrying about. He needed to be worrying about talking with you and filming the conference and just having a good time. And so that was what I was there for.
Actually, these conferences for me are work from the time I get up until the time I go to bed, usually after midnight sometimes after 1 or 2 in the morning, depending upon what kind of conversations I get into and who's there, and sometimes I have to conduct people with business privately away from the group. And but at the same time, it is a social event outside of the lectures and the meetings. And it's an opportunity to, you know, take somebody aside and tell them thank you for all the work that they've done. Just sometimes just sit on a rock and have a beer with somebody. And just, you know, talk give them my undivided attention. It's something that I have a responsibility to do, and it's work for me, but at the same time, it is a social event, and it is a lot of fun. I've always said this, and I'll say it, the day I go to my grave, my people are the best people in the world. They're the kindest, nicest, probably the most moral and ethical and most caring. They are committed to the principles and ideals of freedom, and they understand what those principles and ideals are. Mm-hmm.
Oh, very much so. The conversations that I was hearing, you guys would try and draw me into a conversation, and I'm still pretty much at the milk teeth stage, and you guys were into the steak food stuff, and I'm like, okay, but how interesting. I was astounded and amazed at all the knowledge that was flowing around there, and, I think the biggest thing for all of the first-timers especially was, I don't know how many people came up to me and said that I had some people come and tell me that it was really funny that several people mentioned to me that they didn't think I was going to be as nice as I was, that I was a regular person, because whenever they talk to me on the phone, I have my business voice on, unless I've gotten to know them and can get into a personal conversation with them, but I usually don't, because I'm very aware of the fact that when I'm in the office, I'm on Bill's time. And, I'm there to facilitate his work, not to carry on a personal conversation with somebody long distance on the phone, even though it was you calling. So that's probably why a lot of people think that I'm so reserved, but actually I'm really not.
We call it professional when you're working in an office.
That's right. The first couple of days of the conference were actually pretty hard for me because I really felt like I was on call 24 hours a day.
You were.
And I didn't sleep well the first two nights. I kept waking up expecting somebody to ask me something else. So it was pretty rough the first couple of days. But then I kind of settled down into what was going on and what I was doing and what I needed to be doing to keep the problems, to a minimum Bill's, awareness of them to a minimum. Not that I was trying to hide them from anything. It's just that he didn't need that stress. So.
You mean there were problems I didn't know about?
Oh, yeah, there were a couple.
Well, I told her that her job basically was just to keep an eye out and listen and make sure that everybody there was taken care of and that their problems were handled and their questions were answered and they all had a bed to sleep in and a place to sit around the campfire and when it was time to eat that they got fed and it's my policy that I won't eat until everybody else has eaten, as a matter of fact. I started doing that in Vietnam and I've done it ever since. Anybody that I feel a responsibility for has to be taken care of before my needs are met or anybody else that's on my staff. Connie was admirable in that regard in that I never had to tell her one single thing the entire week. She was ahead of me on everything and everything was everything that she knew about was handled by her in a professional and quick and very, very nice manner. In fact, everybody just really did well, except the cook that left and never came back.
Well, she had an excuse. She went on a family emergency, that was understandable. Things happen.
I thought, oh my goodness, there goes the food, and I told these people they're going to get the best food in the world. And they did. The food was still the best.
It never
went down, not one little crumb.
Nope, it didn't. We had a few scheduling problems with it. You know, they weren't used to having to cook for that many people, you know, on the schedule, and so they were very grateful for my help, and Patty came in and helped. I kept trying to shoo her out, and she goes, "I'm having so much fun. This is fun for me. Let me in the kitchen." I said, "Okay, fine."
She was doing fine until Jeff tore his pants at the knee, and then I kept seeing Patty following Jeff around looking at his knee. I'm just joking, Jack. It's a joke. It's a joke, Jack. I better say that again just in case you're listening on shortwave and it's interference. It's a joke, Jack.
So, yeah. You know, and it was so wonderful that, you know, Jeff, he was a little worried at first. You know, he was more than happy to have our business, but he was a little worried about technicalities and stuff. And then when he met you and everybody else, and everybody was so helpful and everything, he just loved it. And then everything that he got a chance to listen in on totally agreed with what his philosophy of life was.
Yeah, Jeff and I are actually great friends, and Pooh goes once a week for horseback riding lessons as a part of her continuing education.
Yes.
And, you know, while she's doing her horseback thing, and I go through the training schedule with Crusher, because he has to constantly be, you know, you have to do workouts with Crusher. And I just heard a door close.
So did I.
Somebody.
I'm looking for a kid. Oops, child.
Child. Watch out. Who will get you? You call her a baby goat, she'll get you.
That's right. Oh, I haven't heard her baa yet.
Oh, no. Well, you feel like taking some calls from some of the people that you've met over these months. I think it's been 9 or 10 months, hasn't it?
It's been about 10 months now.
She gave birth to the office.
And it was difficult at times. But it wasn't all that hard. It was actually something that, you know, not to be immodest or anything, but I'm very good at that. I've been doing it for a long time. I have a natural flair for organization, and I enjoy it. But like I said at the beginning of the show, it's time for me to get out of my comfortable rut and stretch my wings a little bit. So if you want to call and say goodbye or talk to me, you know, I'll take a call.
It's 520-333-4578. Look at that. Nobody calls that quick when I open the phone. Look at that. Look at it. Look at it. Look at that light flash. Shame on you guys. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Patty.
Hi, Patty. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. They're laughing about
Well, I did notice once around the fire that you were staring intensely at Jeff's knee sticking out of his pants.
Oh, I don't think I was, but guess what?
It's a joke, Patty. It's a joke.
More than likely, you were trying to stay awake.
I think we were all trying to stay awake, and we were listening to him sing, and tell his stories. He has some great stories.
Stephanie, though.
We enjoyed listening to all his stories, and wish we had the tape recorder.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know what? I forgot to tell you guys that Connie did a local one-hour talk show in the morning here on 101.1 FM for 2 weeks.
For 2 weeks.
That's great.
Yeah, I got exactly two calls. So we said, well, they must not be interested, so we won't do it anymore. We decided we were only going to do stuff that they were interested in.
Well, we have to. It's a community service station.
That's right, right.
Well, I want to know if you're going to be at the next conference.
If I'm around, yes, I will.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, I won't let Bill do that on his own.
We want to be able to see you again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's going to be at Jeff's Ranch again. We've already...
We went and looked at the webpage.
Yep.
And saw all the information, and we're planning.
At the same prices. Nobody else does that.
But I wondered why it was in May instead of July 4th.
Well, I told them that we should probably have it a little bit earlier when it was still a little bit cooler, because everybody was complaining about how hot it was.
Oh, and I thought it was absolutely wonderful.
Well, you're from humid place. A lot of people were quite overcome with the heat, so I thought if we did it a little bit earlier in the year, then, you know, then he could also do his Area 51 tour probably around July 4th. So.
Okay. Well, we also at least have to go in the kitchen for 10 minutes.
Oh, definitely.
Wait a minute. Now, what's going on in the kitchen?
That's so much fun.
We learn new Spanish words.
I've got some pictures from the hidden camera of what really went on in the kitchen.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. We're in trouble now. Oh, so you got a picture of me slicing my finger practically off.
Well, I'm
going to
let you go so somebody else can call.
Okay.
And I've got your address, so I'll be writing.
Okay, you do that.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
And thanks for calling, Patty. Patty Mundine.
Yeah.
Been a great help in a lot of ways that most of you will probably never know.
And she would rather you didn't know.
Yeah. So we're not going to tell you. 520-333-457. Look at it. Before I could even finish up, it's ringing. Look at that. Nope. No. There it goes. Okay.
Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Connie. It's Risa.
Hi, Risa. How are you?
We're good. I just wanted to tell you goodbye and farewell, and I hope things go well for you.
Oh, well, thank you.
I tell you, you serve a really mean Dutch oven cobbler.
That was actually Safeway pie.
Well, you're good.
Oh, well, good.
You're a wonderful hostess for us, too, and I just really appreciate all the work you did, and helping Bill helps everybody. That's a wonderful thing.
You know why it was Safeway pie?
No.
Because the cook that specialized in the Dutch oven cobbler.
Vamoose.
Down the road.
Yeah. So.
Way goes.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. You do a real service too for them, and.
Well, I really enjoyed getting to know you, and it was fun for me too to see who you were face to face. And I really enjoyed knowing you. It was a lot of fun.
Well, thank you.
I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Gee, I'm amazed. All these people who really know me well. We're wondering what kind of person you would be. They should have known. Because I only have the best people around me, and that's the truth. 520-333, there it goes again.
Good evening, you're on the air.
Oh, good evening, Connie, Mike, and Linda from Rochester, New York.
Oh, hi, how are you?
How are you doing?
What?
How are you doing?
Oh, just fine.
I just want to call and wish you congratulations on the new job coming up.
Oh, well, thank you.
And you were exactly the person on the phone, the same as when we met you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Matter of fact, if you remember, the first words out of your mouth were, "Have you people had your lunch yet?"
Well, that's right. You came in a little bit late, didn't you?
Yes, we did.
Yeah. And I remember Linda introduced herself to me as the Violet Lady.
Yeah, no, the Lilac.
The Lilac Lady, yes.
Lilac Lady.
Yeah.
Well, and I never met anybody that could stack firewood as good as you.
Oh, thanks.
Or drive that pickup truck.
Oh, hey, I'm a woman of many talents.
Well, I want to say hello to Patty, and Phil, I hope you got my email on that web page there.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Thank you.
And good luck to you and Annie and Connie. Good luck on the new job, and we're thinking about you and Bill and everybody else on a daily basis here in Rochester, New York.
How's your typing skills?
I got one of these microphone hookups, but it's not working too well, where you speak the word and it comes out on the written page.
Oh.
Not much luck with it, though. I'm still kind of struggling. I just got on Windows 95, so I will be hopefully getting up on your page one of these days.
If you talk with an accent, does it type in an accent?
It seems to.
That's what I was afraid of.
It seems to, Bill. Well, good talking to you, and I'll clear the phone. And again, you're in our thoughts and our prayers. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
520-333-4578 is the... Boy, I actually got the whole number out this time. This is going to be the pause. Well,
there it goes. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Connie. This is your bunkmate, Jean, calling.
Oh, hi, Jean. How are you?
Hi. I just feel so bad. So many people know so many people, and what I did was I sort of spent the week in bed, but...
Well, you know, you got that high altitude sickness, and that wasn't your fault.
You know, I didn't know that there was such a thing, and after I came back, I talked with so many people. But anyway.
That was your punishment, actually, for actually going to a casino and winning. You're not supposed to do that.
Well, it'll probably ever happen again. I just talked with Pat tonight.
Uh-huh.
She called me Saturday, and she called again tonight. And she was trying to figure if there's some way we could drive a van and sleep in the van up there now this time.
Oh.
My husband was saying that we'd have to put everything outside. She's talking about bringing a chair up there, and who knows, but we're already planning the trip.
Well, good.
I just want to say I wish you the best of everything. You are an absolute delight and such a help. And I do hope that we get to see you next year.
Well, if I'm around, I'll be up there.
Okay. Well, best of luck to you.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for calling in.
You know, I know Pat, and if she says chair, she's talking about one of those big overstuffed recliners.
One time she wanted to bring a coffee pot for it. She's going to kill me for saying it. And all of this. And I told her, I said, we will have everything but the mattress on top of this little van if we have that.
Yeah, she called a couple days ago and was telling me how she was really getting the computer bug down now and really getting good on the computer.
Yeah, I know. She sort of encourages me.
Well, good.
Well, listen, take care.
Okay, thanks. And thanks for calling in.
Your turn to say the phone number.
Okay, 520-333-4578 if you want to say goodbye to me or if you want to talk to Bill.
Or if you just want to... check out your telephone. Who knows what lurks in the minds of, what is it?
Men.
The hearts.
The hearts of men. Only the shadow knows.
Only the shadow knows.
You never did get those programs.
No, I didn't, but I will. This is an oldie station, and we're going to do some of that kind of stuff,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Oh, there's a horn.
Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, hi, Bill and Connie. Ron here.
Hi, Ron.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Fine. How are we sounding?
Oh, real good. I'm sorry to see you go. It was always a pleasure to call, and whatever business I had with y'all, you know, it was always handled very nice, and at the conference, it was such a pleasure to go there. I had the greatest time I ever had, and you were such a great host. Hate to see you go.
Oh, well, thank you. It was really good meeting you, too, and your presentation was great. You are a funny person.
Oh. Now, people like to laugh at me, that's for sure.
Oh, no.
We were laughing with you.
Oh,
no, nobody was laughing at you, Ron. They were laughing at the natural humor that you're really good at. I don't think you realize that you're really a good speaker and that you present... Sometimes hard to swallow factual and documented research to an audience in a way that lets them digest it and accept it and learn it much easier than with most people.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. If I could attribute that to anything, it's that in all my days of going through school and everything, when they talked about subjects I was really interested in, I just absorb it like a sponge, and I kind of like to try to analyze how these teachers present things. And, of course, listening to you, Bill, on the hour at a time, you know, that helped me a lot, too.
Well, thank you.
Well, I hate to see you go, Connie, so I better get off the line and let someone else, come on, but I'll see you all next year, that's for sure.
Okay, great.
Ron, you know the reason we sound so great, don't you?
Oh, how's that?
It's your microphone that you donated that we're using.
Oh, are they working good?
It's this microphone that I could never afford to even look at in my life.
I hear you on the air, it brings the greatest pleasure that I've ever had to know that the message of freedom is going out. And Rush Limbaugh can eat his heart out because he'd never get a microphone like that.
That's for sure.
Definitely.
Hey, guys.
Thank you, Ron.
Okay, thanks for calling in.
He is really a great person.
Oh, he is.
I just love it when he just calls to talk sometimes.
Uh-huh,
he,
yeah.
Even when I'm busy, he's one person that I will always put down my work and go talk to.
Uh-huh.
And it's not just because he donated this microphone.
Uh-huh.
It's because he truly is a really wonderful person.
Oh, and you know, he's not... Now, I'm not trying to be rude here or anything, but he's not one of the idiots that calls to ask an idiotic question that you already know the answer to, and you just want Bill to say yes. and he's one of the few people that when he calls, he's like, I'm not interrupting him. I don't want to take you away from anything, and, you know, I was there to answer your calls, you know, so you guys are never taking me away from something, so... If you want to say goodbye, or if you want to talk to Bill, or if you just want to talk, call 520-333-4578.
That's the great number, the number in the sky. Now, when I finally got tired of carrying a 45 around and sleeping with one, we got a protection dog. You want to talk about that a little bit? Because that's extremely interesting. The relationship that these two have had.
Oh yes.
I'm gonna put this call on hold.
Oh,
if the
okay.
caller will just hold for a minute while you talk about this.
Oh, the first time I met Crusher, my car broke down this summer, and my nephew drove our truck into somebody's house and destroyed our truck and barely touched the house, but that's another story. Anyway, so I was walking to work from my house to Bill's house. It's about a 20-minute walk, but he lives up Heartbreak Hill. No matter how many times I walked up it, by the time I'd get to the top, I'd be sweating and red-faced and, you know, and first time I met Crusher, he was at the top of the hill with Bill, and I'm thinking, okay, what's this? A welcoming committee. And I have a Rottweiler at home, and I'm looking him over, and I'm thinking, is that a Rottweiler? Because they're standing right with the sun in my eyes. And so we get up there. I get up there to the top of the hill, and Crusher's immediately, you know, and Bill's like, this is Crusher. He's our attack-trained dog, and I'm thinking, I'm dead. I'm dead. And Crusher smelled me, you know, and he did not. He, oh, no, I have a way with animals, and not this one. And Pete and Sue from the conference, the Apache Canine, they had to come up a week after Crusher was here and take me through the paces with him because he... basically, didn't really attack me, but he scared the living daylights out of me, and that's what he was trying to do, and he did a very good job of it. And then once I took him through his paces, and he knew that I was somebody that was above him in the pack, then he kind of settled down. And then one day, about 2 weeks after the conference, even up to the conference, I wasn't real comfortable with him. About 2 weeks after the conference, I came through the front door, and every time I would come through the door, I'd have to say, it's me, Crusher, so that he could hear my voice. And either Bill or Annie would have to be holding him and, so that I could get through the front door. And this time, they opened the door, and he came right up to me and licked me on the hand. And then ran into the living room and brought me his chew toy. And so we played for a few minutes. And since then, we've been playing and having a good old time. I still tell him it's me, Crusher, when I come to the door, so he knows it's me. But
yeah, he would never have attacked her. But anybody that doesn't belong here, he's trained to
intimidate.
Well, he's trained to scare them and make them stay in one place. And if they move or you know, demonstrate any kind of threat, then he can be bad. So, we got somebody on the phone here. Good evening. You're on the air.
Well, how you doing, Bill? Hi, Connie.
Good.
Hi.
It's Kellen Denise here.
Hi.
Hello.
Oh, I tell you, that Crusher's something else. Well, we scared so bad, right now, my hair's just starting to go flat again. I tell you, it was nice hearing Ron's voice. I sure wish we had a fire to stand around and chit-chat all night.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
He is fantastic. Fantastic speaker.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
How are you guys doing up there in cold land?
Yeah, I sure hate to hear you going.
Oh, well, I was really iffy about it, you know, because like I said, I'm real comfortable, but, you know, it's time to stretch those wings and get uncomfortable.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I sat there and I said, well, I'm going to try calling in. And I said, here we go. It was just enjoyable to hear everyone coming over the radio here. And you can picture the faces along.
Uh-huh.
Just gives you a real good warm feeling.
Yes, it does.
Sure does.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, Bill, give Annie a big hug and Pooh and Allison and Pet Crusher for me.
I certainly will.
I think I'm okay around him for a couple times. But
yeah.
On the other hand, that's ooh. I had a hairdo.
Oh, yeah. Well, now they've got a German Shepherd puppy. Pizu.
Yep.
Oh, she is just the funniest thing. She's really taken to me. When we let her into the office, she lays underneath my chair. It's quiet. I don't move.
That's true.
Yeah. Bill moves around too much, so she likes to come in there and lay down under my chair and get away from the girls.
If I was sitting back listening, and I said, you know, I wonder if my phone's working. I better...
Well, it is.
Well, it's nice to hear that the news about the conference already.
Oh, yeah.
That gives us time to start saving up our empty cans and bottles.
Have you been on the website?
Yeah, we went and looked at it. I tell you, that's gorgeous.
Well, it's... I know you haven't seen it all because it takes a long time to see it all.
I had to go to a friend's house.
There's literally
put on the computer for me, and we were looking at it, and it's something else.
There's hundreds of pages on the website that, and I'm not talking about links.
Oh, I'm gonna have to buy him a box of paper just so he can print it out for me.
Yeah, and the information for the conference for next year is already on the website. And he's got pictures from this year's conference on the website.
Yeah, you guys are you're on the web, Cal.
Pardon?
You're on the web.
I'm on the web.
You're on the web.
You are.
You're all on the web. Even the secret pictures of the kitchen shenanigans from the hidden camera.
I told you there was a camera in the kitchen.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, that chef, boy, I tell you what, that was some good food.
It was, wasn't it?
It was just excellent. Everything. Jeff is great, great people.
Yeah.
Everyone there is just the finest Americans, just bar none, just right down to the bone.
Yeah.
You couldn't get a better group of people if you tried.
Yeah.
It was just wonderful. I look forward to next year.
Well, me too.
We do too.
I look forward to every year. You know what I really like to hear? I really like to hear it when people write to me or call me. Or send me an email message and tell me, and every single person has done this, has told me that it was the best time they've ever had in their entire life.
Oh, that's a fact.
And that is just,
that's
it
a
just
fact.
Makes me feel so good that we were able to.
Pulling the tooth with the pair of fence players. Awful hard to do.
Well, there was a lot of teary eyes, including mine on that last day.
Yeah.
Not kidding. At the conference, everyone gets a free box of Kleenex.
Yeah.
I don't know how we're doing on time.
We're okay. We got a couple minutes left.
Well, should I let someone else get on the line here?
Okay.
Okay. Well, you all take care and best wishes to you.
Okay,
thank you, Cal.
Okay, give everyone a hug.
Okay. Thanks for calling in.
You too. Scratch that little feller's chin for me.
I sure will.
Good night.
Well, that's right. You're ferret.
Yeah, yeah. A little ferret. The little ferret.
Now, that was an attack train ferret, wasn't it?
The attack train ferret,
yes,
yeah.
The attack train ferret.
Jeff had an attack train cat that actually attacked Crusher and lived. The only reason that cat lived is Crusher was so absolutely shocked.
Oh, he was.
He couldn't believe that a cat actually jumped on his back, that he just sort of, he had this puzzled look on his face.
Uh-huh.
Like, what, you know.
Yeah, yes, yes. It was very much a, I can't believe this is happening to me.
Yeah. Jeff had a cat that just had kittens, and the mother cat was very protective of her kittens. And so when Annie walked Crusher by where the kittens were, the cat jumped on Crusher's back, and Crusher just sort of went into shock and said, "Oh, please."
Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Connie. Up in New Hampshire.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Hey, sorry to hear you're leaving.
Yeah.
It's been great working with you.
Well, thank you.
You've done a fine job.
Well, I appreciate it.
And I wish you the best of luck.
Well, good. Are you going to go to Bill's speaking engagement in Syracuse?
Syracuse,
November 3rd.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
I haven't listened back to the tape, but I'm usually asleep now, and I rebroadcasting.
Oh.
That's why we've got a web page.
Yeah, I haven't been there today either.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'll get on there first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
Syracuse, yeah, that's right around the corner.
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, I know you got to go, so.
Yeah, we're out of time.
Okay, thanks for calling in.
Sure, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, I want to thank all of you for calling in and saying goodbye to Connie. And Connie, I want to thank you so much for all the help that you've given me. And of course, you know, we live in the same town. We're going to be friends here and see each other. And you're going to come back once a week. You've already promised
me to
help me. And I really appreciate that.
That definitely took the panic look out of his eye.
So once again, thank you. And, you know, despite all this talk that she's telling you folks, this is what she's really thinking. Good night. And God bless you all.
Dead, you rascal,
you rascal, you.
When they bury you 6 feet deep, no more fried chicken can you eat.
That's not true.
When you're dead, you rascal, you. Oh, I'll be oh so glad when you're dead, you rascal, you. I'll be glad when you're dead, you rascal, you. I'll be standing on the corner from a chair when they bring your dead body in. I'll be glad when you're dead, you rascal, you. I'll be oh so glad when you're dead, you rascal, you. I'll be oh so glad when you're dead, you rascal, you. I took you to my home. You wouldn't leave my wife alone.
You're listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. Stay tuned now for all oldies most of the time. Classic radio, like you always wished it could be. Only the very best of the very best music of generations gone by.